Good afternoon, people. I know. How are you guys doing? I know you haven't heard from me in a while. I have been extremely busy, just as you guys have been busy. But I told you that we were going to get through the book of Proverbs, okay? And I told you it's very sporadic. I know that you guys are used to podcasts that are just like, hey, we about to do the podcast, you know what I'm saying? Every Thursday and every Friday night. And it's going to be live on Saturday and stuff like that. And I think that that's pretty cool. And I understand, but if you are still rocking with me this long, I've had this podcast. I'm hoping that you guys kind of know that I kind of move with the ebb and flows of the spirit, okay? All right. Again, if you are uncomfortable with the reading of the Bible, I like the King James Version. You're like, this stuff is not real. I'm not into that. I respect your views, and I hope that you respect mine, and maybe you need to find something that you kind of congeal with. You know what I mean? You know, to each his own. We're going to continue in the book of Proverbs, and I have been letting that wisdom seep down and soak down and pull up, and it's been just, it's kind of like gardening, you know, if I have any fellow gardeners out there, that's what this has really been doing, okay? I have really been feeling this wisdom, you know, with wisdom, a lot of times it comes after like painful experiences or just experiences of which we would perceive with the first look as failures, quote unquote, but they're actually, I like to call them future lessons. And they help you to be able to learn it from the past, right? Now they say it's hindsight is the best 2020. Okay, that's basically what the wisdom has been doing to me. It's been pulling up different things that you would think that would be done. The wisdom of God, I should say, so we can kind of reiterate that. And we want to make that a priority, right? The wisdom of God will dig down in you. It will. It will get down in you. It will dig down in you if you just keep welcoming it. So before we start our lesson today on Proverbs 22, okay? We just finished up in Proverbs 21. Not just, but it was probably about the first week of April, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, it's the last week of April, okay? We're going to do a confession. Now, why do we do a confession? This is just to kind of clear out and cleanse things. And we want to be able to get used to being honest with God. And by being honest with God, we're learning to be honest with ourselves. Because a lot of times we are not honest with ourselves, me included, in different areas. And there could be blind spots, which is why the word comes to wash, you know, comes to wash us, help to comes to give us clarity and to give us standing power and stamina and to help us to be able to know which direction to take, right? So we have to train ourselves to know his voice. And the way you train yourself to know his voice is to first invite his presence. How do you invite his presence? You want to start off by not only thanking him because he is always worthy to be praised. You want to start off with confession. I know it's something that you really do not hear about a lot. And it's kind of seemed like, oh, that's antiquated. God knows my heart. That's the truth. He knows your heart. So he knows what's really in there. So when you kind of get used to expressing, you know, to in your mind, right? You just between you and God, Lord, I'm sorry for, you know, flipping a person a bird in traffic, right? That might be something small to you, right? And you might think, oh, well, I'm not a bad person. I just do that. But then as you get used to confessing, you will start seeing, Lord, okay, I've been holding resentment for a long time. I repent of that, or I'm sorry for that resentment. Repentance, we're just laying it over. We're confessing it with him. We're coming into agreement with Holy Spirit to know, hey, you know what I've been up to. You know what's in me. You know what's been there for a while. I repent. I confess it to you, and then I repent, and I'm going to turn from it, and then I'm seeking after you. Seek, and ye shall find not, and the door shall be opened unto you. And they call him the door, so we want him to open up more to us. And as he opened up more to us, he's giving us more wisdom, okay? So you guys know my style. Sometimes I do it in silence today. I've been kind of led to do it with a little bit of music, okay? Hopefully commercial doesn't come on, okay? All right, and the commercial did come on, but we're not going to let that distract us. Remove all distractions, and we're going to take our 5 deep breaths. As you are taking these deep breaths, just go ahead and confess anything that you may have known, knowingly or unknowingly done, that was wrong against the Spirit of God, things that he does not want us to do. And this is a way to keep us safe and to keep us into a covenant with him, okay? And also, we want to clear ourselves out so that we can welcome his wisdom in with a clean mind. Okay, ask him to wash your mind, creating us a clean heart, renewing us a steadfast spirit. Okay, so let's do our 5 deep breaths. You're going to confess. I'm going to confess. You're going to repent. I repent. We're all on the same level. We are all brothers and sisters, and we are seeking after our Father for more of his Father's knows best wisdom. Okay, and let's start with our 5 deep breaths now. All right, I hope that was enough time for you to just kind of get that some things off of your chest, to kind of confess, even things that you can't tell maybe the closest people to you in your life, right? So sometimes we keep the doors of our mouth closed to those who lie in our bosom, right? So even people that's the closest to you, sometimes it's hard to confess things to them. So hopefully you was able to confess it to yourself, confess it to the Lord, and give it over to him and say, Lord, I repent. I'm sorry for those things. And now we're going to say our affirmation prayer. Yeah, again, if that makes you uncomfortable and you're like, I'm, you know, church hurt and I'm not with all of that, we sympathize with you and we hope that you seek to get therapy, or you seek the people that you need to go to in your life that will help you to be able to process through that. There's no shame over here. It just may not be time, which is cool. You know what I'm saying? I've been there and I might be there in certain areas now. Okay, but let's go ahead and say our affirmation and our prayer. We are thankful today and we ask the wisdom of the Most High come to us and speak to us what you want us to know right now, to not only preserve us, but to preserve those we are over, whether we're single parents, whether we're married, whether we are working for someone else or working for ourselves, whether we are in a position of power in the clergy or not. We want to be able to seek wisdom over how you want us to order our steps. We know that you order our steps, but how are we supposed to walk through those steps? We ask for the wisdom to come, just to be able to show us what you want us to see. We come to you as a child. We're asking, Father, what is the wisdom you want us to know? And we are open and being receptive to receive your seed and your water, your word, and your increase of the wisdom that you are giving us. And we praise you. Thank you. All right. So let me turn the organ music off, because that is worship organ, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. And I've really been liking the worship organ as of late. It's been really, really just like, it's very soothing, isn't it? It's kind of, especially it's kind of rainy here in the Midwest. So I don't want to put that on and, you know, get too tired and too relaxed in the Holy Ghost before the kids are out of school. They come up in here like nuck a few buck, you understand? So we're going to pick this thing up in Proverbs 22. Go ahead and grab, I have my paperback Bible here, okay? But no shame again, no shame over here, okay? I'm not against technology. I understand that's how the world is now. Grab your laptop, I have that too, your phone, your iPad, okay? And also, I always forget this. I'm not going to forget this time. Okay, I'm not, hey, I've been had a few weeks off, right? Well, from you guys, but, you know, not from life, right? Okay, I got my pen today. Can you use permanent marker? We don't want that. So grab yourself a little writing utensil. Grab yourself something you can write with, or something you can kind of highlight. I don't have a highlighter, though, which is cool. I'll kind of circle and underline, but I'm really, like, into the highlighter thing, so I can't use that either. Let me get up and let me get me a, because I got Sharpies, guys. You know, you can't use that. You know, if you have a paperback Bible, the paper is so thin, you know what I mean? By the time you've been used, it had messed it up, basically. So I got myself now a green and a pink highlighter, okay? All right, some of my favorite colors, right? All of the colors are my favorite colors. Those are some of my favorite colors. So let's go ahead and go to Proverbs 22. That is in the Old Testament, if you do not know. If you are just joining us, if you do not know, what is a proverb? A proverb is a saying, it's a motto, okay? Like they have Arabic proverbs. They have African proverbs. They have Chinese proverbs. It's just a saying or a motto. Okay. A lot of times it's something, a saying or a motto that has wisdom packed in it. Okay. It could be enigmatic. It could be mysterious, or it could be just very simplistic and very just up front. Okay. So it all depends. So we're going to the Proverbs that we have already asked God to give us the wisdom. I'm going to go ahead and read through. And again, keep your writing utensils on deck so we can highlight when we need to. I think I'm going to use the green highlighter, because I told you guys I've read through Proverbs several times. And in this particular chapter, I wish I could show you, it actually has a lot of the pink highlighter in it already. Okay, so we want to kind of get that out of the way. Let's go to Proverbs 22, starting at verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and a loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Okay, we want to go ahead, and sometimes you can even just highlight just a number of the verse. Or put a little circle on there. So I want you guys to put a little circle on verse 3, because that is some good wisdom there. Okay, we'll come back to that. Verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doeth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is a servant to the lender. Okay, you can also highlight verse 7, okay? Because also we also want to have wisdom in how we spend our money, what we do with our money. So everything, you can come to everything, to the Word of God. Everything is in the Word of God, okay? It's going to go to verse 8. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. So I'm going to pause right here because you guys know if you've been listening to me, I want to come back to all of the verses, right? But I can't. I know we don't have time. I know you don't have time, okay? And I'm only human, right? So we're going to go ahead and do a commentary. I want to look up Proverbs 22 and 7, okay? This is just a way that you can kind of dig into the scriptures, okay? So we put that on a tab on my lovely computer there. See how it comes handy, okay? So that was verse 7. Again, you can highlight or you can put a tab up on your phone if you want to. Of Proverbs 22 and 7. All right. Let's see. No, Proverbs 22, 7 and 8. Okay. Proverbs 22, 7 and 8. Let me go ahead and put that 8 in here because I love 7, though. That's a lot for like financial wisdom, which I know a lot of people are interested in, but I want wisdom in all areas. Okay. So we're going to definitely come back to that one. Beginning at verse 9. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed. For he giveth of his bread to the poor. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. So also, I already have it highlighted, verse 10. That's letting you know that scornful, you could go ahead and underline scorner. Scorner, right? Scorner is a person that is scornful. Okay? So we know that from this verse, verse 10, a scorner or a scornful person, they bring contention and strife with them. Okay, and reproach. So you can underline contention, strife, and reproach. And it says when you get rid of the scorner, contention, strife, and reproach shall cease, it shall leave. Okay, it means it shall cease to exist, it shall not exist. Verse 11, he that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, and he overthroweth the words of the transgressor. So we know that he overthrows the words of the transgressor. Let's go look up circle. Transgressor. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. The mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. He that is upheared of the Lord shall fall therein. That means if you know you upheared to some. I appear to chitlins. Like, I'm just like, oh, just got, you kind of like shun them. When you shun the Lord, you fall into the deep pit. Okay. The mouth of a strange woman. That means they basically got game. The game of a strange woman can get you to fall into a deep pit. Now, normally when you fall into a deep pit, you know, we are mammals, right? But we're not like animals of the wild like that. You can't climb up and, you know, most humans can't climb up out of a deep pit. You kind of just will kind of be in a sunken place is what we would consider today. So, when they say the word of God is antiquated, this, oh, that's for that time. This verse, and many, many, many of them, but this verse in particular, especially, it can be transliterated through all of time and translated through all the times of whatever type of lingo. Because basically it says that her mouth, a strange woman is like a woman that's like, you know what I'm saying, like out there. You know, she outside all the time. That's like a stray. It's not judgment. It's calling the thing what it is. Am I judging a tree if I call, oh, that's an orange tree. And do you think the orange tree say, oh, you're judging me? No, we know you by your what? Your fruit. Your fruit produces oranges. You are an orange tree. Now, if that's not judgment, that's me calling rightful judgment. If I was to say, all orange trees are evil and wrong, you're not eating the oranges. If you, that's me judging. You understand? It's me condemning you. And I don't know what I'm talking about, right? So that's, we're not talking about that. So when it calls, talk about a strange woman is a woman that's outside, okay? And not only is she outside, she got good mouth game, okay? She show you what the mouth do with her talking. Her mouth is a deep pit. And when she speaks, you go into a sunken place. And now you're in a sunken place, you don't even know it. So that's very, very, very powerful, okay? All right? And it says that only can happen to you when you appear the Lord. So somewhere, if this has happened to one of your brothers or a brother that you may know, you know, a male in your life, and you kind of see like, I don't know why you dealing with that female. And what is she saying to him? She just be saying, because he appeared the Lord in some area. Okay. So again, also Proverbs told us, don't correct the fool. So don't go up and say, hey, cuz, you appeared the Lord, and that's why you didn't fall into, and you calling a woman strange, and you said her mouth is a deep pit. They're going to say, what you talking about? Because remember, a carnal mind don't understand spiritual things. And also, Proverbs tell us, do not correct the fool unless they hate you. Okay? All right? So there's a way that you could probably maybe pray for them or just ask the Lord, Lord, you know, touch their, prick their heart, where they, whatever they up hearing you at, let them give that area over to you. Let them come closer. Draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. Let them draw closer to you, because the closer they draw to you, that deep pit of that mouth, you know, that yuck mouth or that strange woman won't be able to, you know, get them caught up in that. Okay? This is important for wives to know as well. Wink, wink. Oh, I know you. I know what I heard. Oh, you single woman. You can't tell us how to be no wife. I'm telling you, the word of God is telling you right there that the mouth of a strange woman is as a deep pit. Okay? Now, everything ain't on us. We can't, you know, I ain't into that blame game. Everything the wife fought and they left home because you wasn't doing what you had to do. Nah, some men I have up here, the Lord. I keep hearing that word. I keep hearing. I didn't see it. And I keep hearing. Let's go ahead and look up here really quick. Let's look it up. See, I'm getting a little amped. I'm getting passionate and activated up in here. Let's go ahead and look up here. And actually, I'm going to circle it too. That's in verse 14, guys. You guys keep saying, like, what is she? Because I know how it is. Like, when you're reading the word, you like, it kind of runs together. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes, let's look up here. Okay? A-B-H-O-R-R-E-D. And that is in verse 14. Up here. Repugnance. You're disgusted. Okay? Hatred. Extreme disgust or hatred. You loathe it. Oh, my God. I can't stand to shrink from. Okay, it also means to hate in a way of behaving or thinking, often because you think it is not moral, right? So you kind of like, you're trying to give the Holy Spirit of what the Most High, you giving God a moral, like you think that he's immoral in the way he moves. But it says his ways is not your ways and his thoughts is not your thought. So it could be somewhere in your husband or in a brother in your life, you know what I'm saying, your father, you could come in your ball, you know, you're like, why they act like that? You know, why? How they dealing with that strange woman over there? And you can see that when she opened her mouth, it's a deep pit. But he thinking that he being comforted. Just like she just saw. It's like, no, that's not. And it's the reason they fall into it, because they appear to the Lord. They have strong loathing of the Lord. They loathe the Lord. L-O-A-T-H-E. They loathe them. They strongly disagree with God's morals. And I know you're thinking like, well, how? That's arrogant. Where would they get that from? It could come from a childish version of them, a very child version of them. And I don't mean that disrespectfully, okay? Because we know men got egos. We know they made in the likeness of God, okay? I'm talking about as far as it could be a six-year-old version of them. Well, if God's so good, then why did he let me die? And they hold that against God their whole life. And you'd be wondering how they didn't get older and they attracted to these strange women. Okay, well, if God loved me, why did he allow me to be molested? And most men never express or open up about that. Okay, then they get older, you wonder why they're attracted to Jezebelic, you know, deep pitted, yak mouth, strange women. It's because they deep saw a part of them, they would never agree, tell you that, but they're disgusted by the divine. They are averse to the anointed. Okay, they are unrepentant and they're repugnant towards the righteousness of God. There's something in them that hates God, and they hate God, they hate his ways. That's basically what it said. And that's how they fall. That's how they fall prey to the deep pitted yuck mouth of a strange. I didn't make it up. It's right here. See how deep that went into the psychology of something? The Lord cares about our mind as well and the health of it. And then dealing with this wisdom myself and the wisdom working on me, it has just been pulling things up. It says uproot the root of bitterness. You can have, now a lot of people say, well, you can have bitter and sweet come out of the same mouth. I understand that. And I completely understand as far as the context. But hear what I'm saying. We still have a fleshly aspect of ourselves. And there's a process of deliverance. And you don't just go through deliverance one time. There could be deliverance from several issues. Amen, somebody. Way back there in the back. You can have an issue over here where, you know, you just got an anger problem. You just pop off. You know what I'm saying? I can relate. You know what I'm saying? I can relate. But then you kind of go through deliverance with that. It's a process of deliverance. And now you kind of know how to hold your tongue. The Holy Spirit help you to, you know, he give you that power, that enduring power. And you rely on God in that area, right? There can also be an area within you that has a level of bitterness because you mad your father left. Now, just because you delivered over here when it comes to holding your tongue and not popping off on people doesn't mean that you might not have no bitterness coming in you from when your father left? Are these things, are those feelings justified? Yeah, I mean, it's justified, but for it to stay there, maybe we, you know, life gets to life and you get confused and you might even psych yourself out like, oh, I think I'm healed, and something to come along and to trigger that thing. Triggers can be teachers, not all the time, because people do it on purpose. Some people that pick at a scab if they know it's newly healed, or if you got scar tissue. You ever had scar tissue, like if you had a surgery, it don't hurt, but it feel weird, like it might be a little numb, a little tingly. You just don't want nobody to touch it. Where them touching it reminds you, even though it don't hurt you, reminds you of what, like, oh, I got the surgery there. Don't, hey. So you kind of used to guard it, even if it's scar tissue. Some people do it. I ain't talking about them people. Those is the age of the cat. We ain't talking about them. We talking about, you know, it could be situations. Even the Lord could come and he can use the mouth of a child to kind of trigger something. And you, woo, what happened? And it's to teach you to come to God and say, give that over to me. That's a care, that's something you cared about. Something you cared about can traumatize you. And you didn't held on to it. Give it over to me. Okay. And as you release that care to him, that's the process in which deliverance starts to come. And that bitterness, it's a root of bitterness. You know, it takes a while for something to get rooted. See, I'm kind of keep coming back to this gardening thing because I am really in my garden. I am like in my gardening era. I do every year. Actually, I do all year round, but I mean, I really get into hyperdrive in the springtime. Like, I love it. So when you put a seed in the ground, it takes time to germinate, right? As it's germinating, now it's developing roots. But for something to be rooted, that means it's already turned into a nice plant. You ever try to uproot, like try to pull out weeds? Oh my goodness, they're so hard to do, ain't they? It's not the easiest task, is it? So that's what the process of deliverance is, especially dealing with this wisdom in certain areas. The Lord will rebuke and reproach, and then you love him even more for it. It's like he prunes you. And sometimes pain can prune you. Pain will prune you and it'll cut you back. And you know, if we're in a line of trees and you get pruned back and you just sitting there just stumpy and the trees around you is just growing and big. And you understand? It's something that can be seen sometimes. And as he pruned it can be painful. It's painful to be pruned in public. PPP, not the PPP loan though. PPP of the Holy Ghost. It'd be painful to be pruned in public. And when you prune in public, you cut back and you stumpy. You ain't as big as what you used to be. You understand? But the Lord does that so that more growth can come. Because when he pruned away, if you know anything about the ways of a gardener, when you prune things, you want it to come back more bountiful. You want it to have a greater harvest. So those are the things in which the process in which that we walk through deliverance. Okay? So this is just to make us aware. It's not for us to be like, ha ha. So that's what's going on with my husband. That's why he was with that thing. That might be so, but I wouldn't go to them. You know, hey, you do what you want to do, but you pray about it. But I'm just saying, according to the knowledge of the Holy Ghost, if he doing that, he a fool. He in a foolish state. They could be a good provider and be a fool, honey. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can. Yes, they can. I mean, haven't you been? We have been, right? So if you know this is about a man in your life, this is the Lord. And notice how the Lord will slip that up in there. The Lord slips these things up in here through the book of Proverbs to let us know about the psychology of a man, because not he must have. The Lord knows that most men do not express themselves. So as women, they kind of like, what is you over there with that thing, that strange woman with that deep yuck mouth? Somewhere they hate the Lord, and they'll never receive that from you, because remember, you really can't teach a man nothing. The Lord got to teach them. Suffer not a woman to teach. That means you can't be over an authority over no man. You can help or you can assist. And it might look authoritative, but that's God doing that, right? But as far as worship and authority, we don't do that, okay? Because, you know, that's one thing you got to watch when it comes to the strange woman in that deep pit, okay? That deep pit in that strange woman mouth, they know how to speak. Let's look up strange woman. We're going to look that up too, because this is good. I love to say tonight, but you guys know I mean afternoon. I grew up in a storefront Baptist church where they said tonight with everything, okay? Don't make me get this microphone over here. I might have to grab it for you guys, just for a little bit. Just in case if I feel like doing a little tuning tonight. Hello, hello, hello. Hopefully you can hear me. And hopefully it don't sound crazy on this podcast. But they would say, we are just so blessed tonight. And it'll be a morning prayer. So that's just a little joke right there. Hopefully it made you laugh. If not, you know, lighten up a little bit. Or maybe the Lord got to get that root of bitterness. I understand. It's a lot to be bitter about. You're like, you don't know what I understand. Okay, I'm like, what is it, Ruth? Is it Ruth and Naomi? I understand. Naomi said, my name is Mara, for the Lord hath dealt me bitterly. Right? A lot of people make you feel ashamed of your bitterness. Some stuff is bitter. Okay? But the Lord can make it better. And I know that sounds cliche and stupid and very childlike, but it's the truth. And I'm walking that out myself. Okay, even if you don't always feel it, just know it. Just because you don't feel something don't mean it ain't the truth. All right, so then what was that Proverbs? Where was we at, guys? Because I went on a little tangent right there. We want to get into that Proverbs. Yeah, 12, 22 and 14 as well. Yeah, that's a good one right there. Talk about that. It said a deep pit, strange woman mouth. Okay, we want to get into that as well and figure out what is the communication in which this strange woman has this deep pit of a mouth. All right, this is how deep you got to go when you're in covenant, where you got to kind of guard your covenant. You know, it's not just, I'm a white, I'm married now, you know, because that's like, seems like to be a kind of a competition. Now, I'm married, I'm going to get with the man. They do anything and everything just to say they got a man, but you don't really know what it kind of takes. And you don't know the psychology of the Lord. If that's not your husband, the Lord is not going to reveal to you the psychology of which the little idiosyncrasies and the stuff that's kind of like broken in that man. The Lord ain't going to reveal that to you. That's why you don't know. Now, does Lord bless marriage? He's like, we already married. What am I supposed to do? Okay. Well, then you need to humble yourself and go ask Lord. I know this wasn't my man. I know I had no business doing this, right? Confession. But can you show me? And the Lord will honor that because his grace and mercy endure forever. He'd be like, okay, I didn't tell you, but all right. But you got to come to him. All right. That's just a little. All right. Let's go ahead and continue. Okay. See, I got very, very amped up and animated right there. Let's go ahead and go to verse 15. You know, I want to read it on the microphone, guys. I feel holy today. All right. Not holy as far as like I'm so perfect, but I feel a little set apart, a little ostracized, a little obscure. All right. So hopefully you can hear me a little bit. We're going to go ahead and go to Proverbs 15. Okay. Verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Okay. Now I see how that slipped into their raising kids. He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. Bow down thine ear, and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. See again, you see that? This is talking about a lot about the mouth today. Okay, let's go ahead and, I know you like, she got her underline and everything. This is just so precious. Let me put this microphone down, hallelujah. But I'll pick it back up when I want to. All right, see, I really love that. Yes, I have a microphone. Yes, I do. I have 5 kids and I have to be able to speak. And a lot of times they overspeak me. So I like that. Bow down, bow your ear down. Bow down, Lord, we bow our ears down. Just bow them all. Sometimes you know, you hold your head up with your, you know, stiff neck. You know, let's bow our ear. We relax in you. We know that you are our rest and our refuge. And we bow down not only our mind, bodies, and so we bow our ears down to you because we want to incline our ear to wisdom. Your ear can bow. Everything in you can bow. I didn't make it up. It's right here. So that's verse 17. Bow down. Let's underline bow your ear down. Okay. That is so beautiful right there. And in verse 18, it says, fit it in thy lips. Fit it, F-I-T-T-E-D, fit it, okay? His words and his knowledge, it should be fitted. You know, you go get something tailor-made, and it just fits you like a little, it should be fitted in your lips. So see, in your lips, if you look at it from the terms of a wife, or as a mother, you got sons, or you're a daughter, right? Of course, obviously, we're all daughters. You know, you have a father, right? You know, that's how you got here. But, you know, when you look at things like that, in your lips should be fitted words, the word of God and of knowledge. And we're going to find out what this deep pit of a strange woman is. Because see how, again, with Proverbs, I love it because it shows you contrast. It judges righteously. It calls a spade a spade according to its fruit. It gives you the distinction to know what is what. And then it gives you the compare and contrast. That's what it gives you. That's what I love wisdom. And a lot of times we learn compare and contrast. Us in life is through mistakes. But if we will incline ourselves into wisdom and listen to the word of God, a lot of times, a lot of those mistakes can be averted because we can listen to the Ancient of Days who knows about just about everything. There's nothing new under the sun. Verse 19, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee the excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sin unto thee. Rob not the poor because he is poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause and spoil the soul of those that spoil them. Okay? So everybody, I'm spoiled. It ain't always cute to be spoiled. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. You know, they say you big mad. Okay, well, if you know somebody big mad, don't go over there and be, hey, mm-mm. You know, be cordial. Don't even halfway say nothing to them. We ain't friends. You angry. You ain't no telling you what an angry person would do. Lest thou learn his way. See that? And get a snare to thy soul. Be thou not one of them that strike hands, or of them that are sureties for debts. If thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee? Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Seest thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. Wow. Let's go ahead and underline that. We're going to highlight the whole thing. And that's the last verse of chapter 22 of Proverbs. I want to read that last verse again, just so we can kind of like end it right there. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? This is a question he's asking them. He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. So, you know, you're like, what you talking about? It just told you don't befriend a mean man. So if you see somebody angry out of town, don't go into business with them. Say, I don't stand before you. I should stand before kings, because my diligence brings me before kings. My diligence don't bring me before you and your big man angry self. That's not judging, it's judging righteously. How you know? Because they always met by their fruit. Somebody always mad and hollering and squabbling about. Now, I get upset and frustrated, but just all the time, just angry. Yeah, because you will learn that way from them, and then you won't be what? It, a lot of times, anger causes you to be not diligent, because you're holding on to stuff, right? You look at an unproductive area in our lives, again, remember, we want to point the things at ourselves first. It might be a level you're angry at, and you haven't told them, I'm angry, Lord. Help me to unlearn what I learned to do. And they remember said, don't be a strike. Like, I show you these hands. It said, don't be striking with your hands. So we got to get, well, Lord, we give you our anger too. We not only bow our ears down, we give you our anger. In every area, you can be angry too. Angry at a baby daddy. Oh, I know about it. Oh, I know the depths. There is many levels, and it's levels to this when you're angry at a baby daddy or a baby mom. Now, I'm not gender specific, right? You can be still angry at your parents. And be like, oh, no, I'm over there. And I honor my parents. I'm, no, you still have some anger up in there. Okay? So you give your anger over to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to have wisdom with that. And I want to be able to be diligent in my business. And show me what my business. If you're like, I don't know my business. Show me what my business is. I don't want to be in nobody else. I don't want to be a busybody in somebody else's business. I want to have my own business. And not only do I want to have my own, I want to have the business that you made me to have. I want to be able to be diligent in it. And I don't want to be before mean men. I want to come before kings with my business. Kings is people in authority. People that are cultured, according to the text. That follow protocol. That mean they got some act right. You can't really, I mean, they would call them evil kings, according to the text. But most kings kind of knew how to, they was cool, calm, and collected. They appreciated some good knowledge or somebody that will help out and make the kingdom run better. That's how you can know what a king, you know, the difference between a king and a mean, call a mean man. Okay. All right. So let's go to what is Proverbs about. Okay. And I'm going to let you guys go, because I know that you got stuff to do. And so do I. Have tons of laundry to do. Okay. Again, you can look this up. Okay. It's just look up what is Proverbs 22 about. Proverbs 22. This is coming from Microsoft Bing. Always, 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 I sound like a broken record, cite your sources, always, okay? Proverbs 22 is a chapter in the Bible that provides guidance on a variety of aspects of life. It explores the enduring value of a good name, the importance of integrity, and the consequences of wisdom and folly. Folly is foolishness, so it's compare and contrast. The chapter includes more comments about the eternal equality of people, rich and poor, and God's sovereignty over them. It also dispenses practical advice about gaining a good reputation, avoiding danger, setting children on a good path, finances, pure living, and the Lord's watchfulness and judgment. The chapter speaks on the absurdity of laziness, the danger of evil words, and the sin of oppressing the poor. So right now, even if you haven't thought that you have done this, we repent of being absurd in our laziness. Repent of the danger of our evil words. We renounce and denounce any evil words that we have spoken, okay, towards ourselves and towards our loved ones, okay? We also repent of in any way we may have knowingly or unknowingly oppressed the poor or people that was less fortunate than us, okay? So that's what it's basically talking about. So see what I mean? How it was like a huge hodgepodge. It's just a wonderful, like a guide. Basically, it's a guidance. It's like a guidance book. That's the way I can sum up Proverbs. So the whole Bible's like that, but really Proverbs, okay? I wanted to hit on Proverbs 22 and 14, and then I'm going to get out of you guys here. Proverbs 22 and 14 warns against the mouth of a strange woman, which refers to their fair and flattering speeches that entice men into sin. I'm going to say it again on the microphone. Proverbs 22 and 14 warns against the mouth of a strange woman, which refers to the fair and flattering speeches that entice men into sin. Like that type of thing, okay? Falling into sin is easy. Everybody has done it. I do it, you do it. The righteous man even falls down 7 times in a day. So if you say you ain't did nothing, you a lie. Because it said if you're righteous, you got 7 times you got to be repenting and say, Lord, I didn't mean to do that. I'm so sorry. But getting out of it is hard, if not impossible. The allusion is to the breast taken in a pit dung for them. Look at that. The verse suggests that it is better to get rid of than to tolerate the person who makes trouble. God wants people to act accordingly, according to truth and knowledge, okay? That's something, that's somebody, and that's a being, an entity, a higher knowledge that loves you more than you can imagine, that wants you to walk in truth and knowledge, okay? And it's just beautiful. If you want to further go into that, and you're like, well, let me see what she's talking about this strange woman. You can check out Bible Hub, okay? You can also check out this BibleHub.com. You can also check out BibleStudyTools.com, which is very, very good, okay? Let's go also to BibleRef.com. There's also another one if you want to really get in-depth, and this will be by David Gizek. That is BlueLetterBible.org, okay? These are just some references and some tools I'm giving you where you can kind of go and go, because normally I know I do read the commentary, but I don't want to have these podcasts be too long, so you can kind of go into, or if I'm led to, today I'm not led to really kind of go on. I think the Lord made his point through me. Amen.
Hallelujah.
I think he made his point where it's letting us know how our speech can affect things, basically, and how we're supposed to rear our children. And then what we want to do with our business and how we're supposed to handle our money and how we're supposed to handle our emotions. So Proverbs 22 is like really power packed. All of them are, but this is really good so far. I really enjoyed this for the afternoon. This was just a reminder to me to watch my mouth. Stay away from angry people. Let me do it.
Stay away from angry people. Now, if you're angry, man, it's, you know, it's emotion, but you got to stay away from angry people. It's a reason to stay away from angry people, okay? From mean men. Because you start learning their ways of being mad. And when they're mad, they do stuff. You understand? Stuff they ain't got no business doing. So it's best just to be diligent. Lord, help me to be diligent. I bow my ear down to you. Bow myself down to you. I approach you as a child. I don't know nothing. I need you to tell me everything. And I'm going to follow you. That's basically the way. And that way you're living peaceably with all men. And the way you live peaceably with an angry man is not, they said don't go near him. Because they're going to be mad. somebody angry, like, you don't know what they, you hate. What you all, it's too early in the morning to be all happy. You're like, it's 10:30. Now you brought something to their attention. Now they're mad again. You understand?
Now they're trying to sabotage you. So listen, I didn't make that up. That was so good for me to hear right there. A lot of times, you know, we'll be thinking like, do I ostracize myself too much? Or am I too like out of touch? And basically the Lord said, no, they're angry. They're angry men. It was another one that I wanted to look up as well. Oh, that was verse 7 to 8. You guys, you could go meditate on verse 7 to 8. I'm going to look at that a little bit more. Also, some key words from this scripture is scorner. Let's look that up real quick. Okay, I just have to do it, guys. And I'm going to let you go. So I know your kids getting off the school bus and everything. And this is when everybody start coming back into the house. You're getting back in the house. It might be raining. It might be nice where you at. I don't know, you know. So let's look up scorner, okay? In the Bible, a scorner is someone who mocks, scoffs, ridicules wisdom, which is like crazy to me, righteousness, and godly principles. They have a negative and disrespectful attitude towards anything that aligns with God's truth. Scorners lack knowledge, humility, and obedience. That means that if they lack knowledge, they don't know nothing. If they don't have humility, they're arrogant. And if they don't have no obedience, they're disobedient. So they're not smart, arrogant, and disobedient. It's just, okay, it's right there. So when you go back to 7, so a lot of times you say, why are you looking it up? Okay, we know what a scorner is. Well, you could plug it back in to, what was that? Oh, I'm sorry. That was verse 10, guys. Let's do 7 through 10 because I just like all of those scriptures. But really verse 10, 22 and verse 10 of Proverbs. Cast out the scorner. It means right here, cast out the person that mocks people, that ridicules wisdom. Cast that person out. They got a disrespectful. And now you got a negative attitude towards anything that aligns with God's truth. If God's truth say manage your business, you got a negative attitude towards that. No, we got to find out. We got to dox. We got to find out something. If God's truth say be meek, oh, no, I'm going to be loud and boisterous, you know, rebellious. You know, and they negative towards you being meek. I say, that's why you always get walked over and stuff like that. That's not somebody that, I'm just keeping it real. That's not somebody keeping it real. And a lot of times I'm sitting in the females. I deal with it with females a lot. That's somebody that's disrespectful, have a negative attitude towards God's truth. It says you have to get rid of them. It says cast them out. That means you don't just, can you leave me? No, get out of here. You got to get them, basically, you know, and I'm not, but be smart about it. Because remember, you know, you can't correct a foolish person. Don't tell them why you're doing it. Say, you know, can you leave? No, you know what? I don't want to hear that today. You have a good day. You cast it. I'm casting out my conversation. I don't want to hear that. Because it said when you cast them out, contention, strife, and reproach will stop. So if you got contention in your life, strife, and reproach, and you said, what's going on? First of all, you check yourself, ask the Lord to watch you. But if you're like, okay, well, I know what I ain't. Let me see. Look for a scorn. Look for a person that mocks and scoffs and ridicules God's wisdom. Well, that ain't wisdom. You're supposed to turn the other cheek. That's dumb. We gotta show them who the business and all of this type of stuff. Now you're showing people who the business is, and you trying to, you know, standing on business. You won't let them know. You don't talk to me like that. Because you're learning the ways of an angry person. A lot of times it could be a strange woman that's angry. You're learning the way, or it said mean men. It says strange women and mean men. Now, I wonder why the mean men, according to the text, and the strange women, why they don't never choose to get together? Why don't never just get together and go on by their business? They always want to, but see, like, they're like the opposite, don't they? Well, you never notice that? And if you do got a strange woman and mean man together,
that's what they said, that's terrible twos. You better run as fast as you can. If you see a mean man and a strange woman, according to Proverbs 22, I'm in the text, I'm not making nothing up, it's right there, it's the same lingo, the same verbiage. A mean man and a strange woman. If they coupled up, you better run. That is a terrible two, okay? And they're full of destruction. You better get on up out of there.
All right, but I don't know why, but they like to kind of gravitate towards the opposite. So if you see that type of attitude, look around. Somebody got a bad, negative attitude. They disrespectful towards you trying to be humble. They disrespectful and negative towards you trying to be obedient. They disrespectful you trying to seek wisdom and trying to be teachable. You need to get away from that person, because that's where that contention, that strife, and that reproach is coming from. Them people you got in your life. It's not somebody, because a lot of people will scapegoat somebody. They'll say, it's because of you over there. It's like, no, it ain't because of me. I'm not around you. I ain't nowhere to be around up over there. You got contention, strife, and reproach. It might be some mean men or some strange women that's over there. I'm just saying. That could be in the workplace. That bring low morale, right? That could be in your platonic relationship. And you know, the vibes and the stuff is all. That could be, you know what I'm saying, with your marriage. Okay? If you like, well, it's only two of us in this marriage. I only got married to you. Where's this contention and this strife and this reproach coming from? Because they've been around with a mean man, a strange woman. They didn't gave their ear. They didn't lift their ear up to them. They didn't bow their ear down to God. So if you could bow your ear down to God, you could lift your ear up to a strange woman. Because remember, it says that her mouth is like a deep pit. She gives fair and flattering speeches. And remember, the fair and flattering speeches is against God's wisdom. So if it's God's wisdom and his truth, they say you're supposed to honor your wife. You're supposed to honor your husband. And the fair woman is saying, well, she shouldn't be talking to you like that, because I would never do that. No. You is a real man. That type of stuff. Especially, I was feeding into the ego, into that flesh, into that vanity. It's not holding him accountable. It's making him go outside of his covenant. That is a deep-pitted, yuck-mouth strange woman. Hello, can I come in?
that being, that's what it is. I didn't make it up. That's what it is. Those are fair, flat. Oh my, ooh, daddy. Oh my God, daddy. Like, oh, you really, oh my God, a good flew out. Like, girl, he just really care. Like, nah, that's not what that is. See? Okay, why y'all need to get y'all, such and every say, get your discernment up. You looking, don't be looking over here. I ain't doing nothing to nobody. You see me doing that? Do I talk? I got a deep voice. I sound like this. I sound like this. Hi, hi, hi. You hear me? That's how my voice sounds. I'm not no fair and flattery. Oh my, wow, you work so hard. Like, they trying to meet your husband's emotional needs. They trying to, now, I don't think so. Wait a minute. Where's that's fair and flattering speech. That's the deep-headed yuck mouth of a strange woman. You deserve the best. You know, when was your birthday? He like, man, where's your birthday? Oh, man, it's like December. I was like, December what? December 14th. You know what I'm saying? Man, you know what? I'm going to get you something. No, I don't do that on my own. No, you know what? You can just tell this from your friend. I'm going to get you this. I'm going to get you this expensive pen. This pen costs $500. Like, what? Now, listen, I got it like that. Now they want to let the man know they got some money. That's a fair and flattering speech. That's a deep-pitted mouth of a yuck-mouth strange woman. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get this for you. Because you deserve this. Because you're working hard. And you deserve to be honored and respected. Not them words. You understand? They take the stuff that the original wife was supposed to do and they switch it and flip it. And they said that that's what they, that's, they act like that's all they have to offer. They just overflowing with respect for the man, right? Okay, now, somewhere, if your husband gives it to play into that, he has loathed the Lord. He hates the Lord in a certain area. Because if he loves the Lord in the area in which he's supposed to be serving and have an authority in, he wouldn't listen to that. He would know, no, I don't know you. You're a strange woman. How you flattering me so much? You don't know me. You know, like they go to the strip club and they swerve it down. The strippers love them, don't they? And they don't. This never says they job. That's their job. All right, I'm just, you know, they like, she know how to talk to somebody. That's flattery. That's not real. And a lot of times flattery is fake. That's just something for, you know, you wives to kind of just, you know, don't be looking over here. I've been single for 9 years, you know, and I'm pretty sure I can speak for a lot of times, especially in the church setting, you know, you got to watch out for the single women. No, not all of us. You need to watch out for the ones that with the deep pitted mouth, that's fair and flattering. If a woman is not speaking fair speeches and flattering and all up in your man's face, that ain't the one you got to worry about. You got to worry about the ones, oh, no, I've been a secretary for 9 years. You understand that type of thing? Oh, I know. That been my friend since high school. You know, I always hold them down. Now you got to look at, tell you, touch your lips and say, turn around.
Turn around every now and then.
You need to turn around. Don't look up about face and march on. And you have to. That sometimes you have to clear the air in that way.
Okay. So that's the good thing about God. God's word is so exact. If you suspicious and you feel like my women intuition. Okay. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. We call it the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit telling you something. Don't just attribute it to somebody because you have a problem with them. They look like, oh, you look like you. Nah, ain't what they. Looks can be deceiving, my friend. You might need to look at that old frumpy thing up over there or the one that they did just so holy. And the Lord, oh, you need to watch up over there, okay? That's just a little, this is wisdom up in this tab. I mean, this is just so much wisdom. That's good for the women to know, okay? So we're not only going to be grateful that we have confessed and we have received this Proverbs 22 wisdom today. It has hit everything, business, raising children, women with their husbands. You got to pay attention and let you know about how them sappies are strange women and let you that pay attention. It gave you the profile. It didn't give you the psychological FBI profile, the Faith Bible Institute, the Faith Bible Informational, FBI of the text. It didn't give you the FBI profile of a side chick, strange woman, yuck mouth, open pitted, strange woman, okay? And it gave you the whole personality type of how they speak. Again, if a woman is not coming to your man, they speak to your man like that. That's not the one you got to watch out for. You got to watch out for the one that's acting like this. So it also talks about that, about the statue. And it talked to us about not being lazy. And it talked to us about being diligent. This was like a full combination of the whole book of Proverbs and verse 22. I'm excited to hear and receive from verse 23. So we have prayed, we've received. We're also going to say a prayer of thanks for a thankfulness. I know. Something new, right? But the Lord just bring different things. He does all things new. So let's play this good old beautiful organ again. And we're going to lead out with our affirmational prayer of thanks for what we have received. And that we could be able to let this soak in us. We want these words to be fitted. It said fitted within our mouths. Okay? Sorry for that, guys. My phone. Okay. So now, Lord, we are thankful for this wisdom that you allow us to receive. Thankful that you care so much about us, that you are telling us about everything that could even happen in our life, the things we may encounter, may not encounter within this text. And you are even giving us a way that you have shown us that is truthful and that is your knowledge that takes us in a way that is of least resistance and that is safe and that is blessed and that we get rewards from you. We want these words to be fitted within our mouth. We bow our ears down to you. We are thankful and we repent. We do not want to be strange women with deep-pitted mouths. We want to have our mouths fitted with your word and with your wisdom and your knowledge. And we are so thankful that you're able to just work the wisdom with us. We're thankful that will help us to be able to acknowledge where there are certain areas we could use this wisdom. Help us to be practical and being able to understand what we just read. So we thankful. We are thankful to you. Ancient of Days. Amen. All right. So that was so good. I ended up being in this thing for an hour. I didn't mean to do that. Almost. Okay. We almost a few minutes shy of an hour. You guys have a wonderful day. Happy Thankful Tuesday to you. And okay, I see you when I see you. Okay. Listen, I know I might get quiet sometimes, but just know
I'm doing something.
All right. So sometimes it's not always good to be seen all the time and heard. Sometimes it's good to sit down and listen. All right. So I'm grateful for this today. This helped me. I helped me. The Holy Spirit helped me, and I hope this helped you. You guys have a wonderful day. Peace.